Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Prumo Participações Investimentos S.A.'s financial results for 2020. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants, if you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today with us, we have Eugênio Figueiredo, the CEO and CFO of Prumo Participações Investimentos S.A. and CFO of Prumo Logística S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Figueiredo. Please, sir, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining this 2020 results conference. We're going to go through some of the highlights of the figures of 2020 full year, and then we're going to have a Q&A session. Starting with 2020 financial highlights, 2020 financial results for both Prumopar and Ferroporte were positively impacted by the appreciation of the U.S. dollar against the Brazilian real, which compensated the decrease in the take-or-pay tariff, which was adjusted by the PPI of 1.09% from 2019 due to a deflation of this index and the decrease in the revenues from the T-oil due to the discounts granted by Ferroporte to the oil vessels coming to Açu Petróleo. In 2020, Ferroporte handled 23.8 million tons of iron ore during the whole year, which represents an increase of 4% compared to 2019 amounts, reaching an all-time high for the company since the beginning of the operations in 2014. Ferroporte's adjusted EBITDA, which excludes the settlement agreement in 2019 that ended the arbitration process and the dredging maintenance that occurred in 2020, increased 22% to 697 million BRL, and the adjusted EBITDA margin increased by 146 basis points to 82.6%. As a consequence of the better operational results and considering the compensation of $60 million from the settlement agreement received in April 2020 but registered in 2019 books, Ferroporte distributes to Prumopar and Anglo American 737.5 million BRL as intercompany loan repayments versus 419 million for 2019 figures. In 2020, Prumopar received, after 3.6 million of withholding tax, 365.2 million of intercompany loan, which represents 88% higher than the 194.2 million received in 2019. In 2020, the cash received by Prumopar allowed the company to honor all the interest, legal, and target payments related to the bonds, fulfill and release the target amortization reserve account, which is the TARA, distribute dividends, and accumulate cash, which is available to be distributed to Prumo in the near future. Some of the highlights on the business specifics, there's a table in our release where we compare the figures between 2020 and 2019 and the comparison for the fourth quarter 2020 with the fourth quarter 2019. We're going to focus here on the full year. When comparing the volume, we already said 4% increase year-over-year from 2019 to 2020. When we look to the T-oil access tariffs related to the take-or-pay, there's a 31% increase in BRL terms comparing year-over-year as well. On the EBITDA, on the same table, we can see on the adjusted amount, a 29% increase year over year when we compare the 571 million against 735 in 2020. Some updates about the coronavirus impact. Now there's been actually more than a year or about a year that we have been operating under the pandemic outbreak. The company has been working internally actually to respond to this threat, and Ferroporte, the operational company, was able to keep all operations going on without any impact, of course, due impact in the volumes itself, using all and following all the sanitary rules here in Brazil. And to the extent that we become aware of any material or relevant additional information that impacts on Ferroporte operations could happen, a notice will be released to all bondholders as may be required under the reporting obligations that we have under the senior secured bonds contract. Moving now to the financial figures, taking the first look on the Ferroporte consolidated amounts, we have on the income statement, and we're going to go through some of the highlights. On the consolidated gross revenues for 2020, there was a decrease of 3.2% in comparison to the same period of 2019. Excluding the effect of the extraordinary revenue from the proceeds from the financial compensation due to the settlement agreement, and when we compare again those same two figures, we have the gross revenues growing by 26.2% when we compare to the amounts of 2019, excluding that specific and non-recurrent movement. The total amount was impacted by the dollar's appreciation against the BRL, as we said, and this amount was partially offset by the tariffs discounts granted to the T-oil vessels that are accessing the shared structure. Revenues from iron ore take or pay increased when we compare just that metric, 31%. To 971 million, and the port taxes alone, as we said, a decrease of 37.8% to a 32.3 million BRL amount for the year. In terms of costs for 2020, there was a increase of 36.6% comparing the 2019 amount to the 2020 figures, mostly due to the dredging maintenance of 38.3 million, which was registered and accounted as third-party services, and to a higher maintenance and supply costs related not only to the increase in the volume handled, but also to prepare the company to expected growth in the next years. Overall, operating expenses increased 9 million BRL compared to 2019, impacted by the increase in the payroll and related charges, primarily due to the increase in headcount, aiming the growth as well of the volume handled, and by the increase in third-party services and contingencies, which include fees and legal costs related to the settlement agreement as well. This increase in expenses was also driven by lower income in tax sales of non-consumed electric energy, which decreased 3.4 million BRL compared to 2019, caused by the reduction of the price of the energy not used and sold at the spot market and lower reversal on credit losses. For the net financial income, total amount, it summed up 18.1 million BRL versus a loss of 106 million reported in 2019. The increase was mainly driven by the exchange rate and monetary variations on the gain of the arbitration settlement, which summed 70 million BRL, and also by the reduction of the interests of the intercompany loan, caused by the reduction of the CDI, which is the Brazilian benchmark interest rate, and by the reduction of the total debts. For 2020, income before income taxes amounted 659 million, leading to a net income of 414.5 million BRL versus a net income of 409.5 million for the same period in 2019. Taking a look on the cash flow statements, Ferroport reported cash flow from operating activities of 463.4 million for 2020, which represents an increase of 320.1 million if compared to 2019, impacted mainly by the settlement agreement, which was accounted in 2019 but paid on April 2020. Ferroport CapEx for 2020 summed 52.1 million. The main expenditures were related to repowering the piling system and the creation and the construction of an emergency route, which summed up 38.6 million, and painting and corrosion repairing of 6.6 million BRL. The remainder was associated to stay-in-business capex, such as environmental compensation, spare parts, painting, restoration, and measures to avoid the clogging of equipment and dust emissions at the site. During 2020, Ferroport amortized 379.4 million of principal from the intercompany loan. On the main impacts on the balance sheet, we have the consolidated cash and securities position on December 31st, 2020, amounting 79.2 million BRL, and currently receivables from related parties summing up 162 million BRL. The decrease on receivables is explained by the settlement agreement, which was accounted in December 19, but paid on April 2020. It was important mentioning that the take-or-pay payment for December 31st, 2020 was postponed to January 2nd, 2021 by Anglo American, decreasing the cash position and increasing the receivables from related parties' accounts for the closing of the fiscal year. Company's intercompany loan as of December 31st, 2020 was 554.2 million BRL total amount, out of which 300.4 million was due to Prumopar. Going now to Prumopar income statement, we have for 12 months ended in December 31st, 2020, the net financial losses increased 390 million BRL if compared to 2019, due mainly to the depreciation of the BRL against the US dollar, but also to the increase in total debt and to the decrease of the intercompany loans interest accrued. During 2020, interest expenses increased 70.1 million BRL, net exchange variation decreased 359 million, and interest received on intercompany loans decreased 35.3 million BRL. Results of equity accounted investees remained stable and increased only by 3.1 million BRL. Prumopar reported income and social contribution taxes expenses of 0.04 million for 2020 as compared to tax credits of 13.3 million BRL in 2019. On 2020, net losses amounted 305 million versus a net income of 95.6 million for the same period of 2019. Moving on to the cash flow statement of Prumopar, During the year of 2020, Prumopar received 345 million BRL of principal and 20.2 million of interests, all of them net of taxes, related to the intercompany loan from Ferroport. The increase comparing to 2019 is related to the settlement of arbitration between Ferroport and Anglo American. In 2020, Prumopar paid in USD 23.3 million of interest and USD 36.1 million on principal, out of which 6.9 million were related to the regular target amortization and 29.2 million by the TARA release payments. The company also distributes 36.4 million BRL as dividends in 2020 to Prumo. Moving to the balance sheet of Prumopar, on December 31st, 2020, Prumopar reported cash and cash equivalents of 65.3 million BRL. The increase comparing to December 31st, 2019 is due to excess of cash generated at Prumopar, which were not distributed to the shareholders yet. The escrow account decreased when comparing to December 31st, 2019, due to the termination of the TARA reserve account in the end of the first half of 2020. As of December 31st, 2020, the escrow account was represented only by the debt service reserve account constituted in US dollars, which summed 11.7 million USD. Prumopar's total debt increased in BRL terms when compared to December 31st, 2020, by approximately 225.9 million to 1.49 billion BRL, impacted by the increase in foreign exchange rate. In US dollar terms, the total debt decreased 36.1 million to 307.2 million US dollars. In December 31st, 2020, Prumopar's equity was negative by an amount of 304.6 million BRL due to the accounting losses driven by the accrued exchange variation registered by the periods. So that completes the highlights that we prepare to go through, and would like to start now the Q&A session process if we do have any questions coming from the participants.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star then 2. Wait a second while we assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Thomas Lemus with Barings. Please, Thomas, go ahead.
Hi, Eugenia. Thank you for the call. I have a few particular questions. So the first one is if you can provide a little bit more color on the decrease in the EBITDA margin from the second quarter towards the fourth quarter. I mean, now under 80%. Is it just related to the extra volumes that you're handling? I mean, maybe let's start with that one, and then I follow with other ones.
Okay, thanks for the question, Thomas. Yes, it is when we compared, but I think some comment I would like to make first is that when you're comparing just the fourth quarter, then we have, of course, the volume impacts, which was actually when we compare only the iron ore volume, a decrease in the fourth quarter of 2020, comparing to the amounts that we have on the fourth quarter 2019. So 6.513 in the fourth quarter 2019 and 6.308 when we have the iron ore amounts for the same quarter in 2020. But one process that we actually saw at Ferroport and it was very active during the year was since the beginning of the pandemic outbreak, there was a process of actually holding some of the costs and some of the expenses on in the beginning of the period. And as we went through the remaining of the year, then as we didn't have and didn't face any negative impacts on the take-or-pay payments, we had actually a release of those by the year end. So when we look only fourth quarter to fourth quarter, that movement of saving the amounts on the first, the second, and the third quarter of the year and releasing some of them on the fourth quarter impacted the EBITDA adjusted margin for the fourth quarter. But when we compare the full year, and that's on the table as well on the release of 2019 to 2020, then there was an increase from 81.1% in 2019 full year margin to 82.6% in the full margin for 2020. So it was more a process within of making the expenses within the year mostly concentrated at the end of some of them that was not spent on the second and one the third for precaution process, preparing for the worst that could be potential impacts on the revenues that didn't come at the end of the year.
Got it. And that normalization of expenses and cost is already solved by fourth quarter, or we should expect some carryover into 2021?
Actually, there was the majority. I would say we were able to release, but some of the some of them were postponed to 2021. Sorry, and then I think we'll have some impact here. But then, as we were, and when I mean we here, it's Ferroport actually. When we were discussing the budget for Ferroport for 2021, some of the things that we already knew that were not implemented in 2020, that we knew that we have to make in 2021, were included on that. But with the consideration of looking to the full year, which means we didn't project any negative impacts for because of that movement standalone for the figures of 2021.
Okay, got it. My second question is regarding the PPI for 2021. What's the variation that you are expecting in your tariffs?
Okay, so on the PPI process, it is the process is a release of the preliminary or the expected amount, which is released in the beginning of the year, and then they confirm and they release the final and definitive amount. So this first release for 2020 amount, which is going to drive the escalation now in 2021, the amount released was 0.6%. And if you remind the rule that we have, it's to get two-thirds of that amount and make the escalation, which would mean 0.4% of positive escalation on the tariffs expected for this year. But that number, it's actually confirmed by mid-April. So we're about 10 days to have that confirmation, roughly.
Okay, excellent. Regarding the IPO of Azul Petroleo, I mean, just wanted to understand what are your plans, because it seems that it has been, I mean, delayed for a couple of months now, and how that may affect the bond structure.
The IPOing or not a Supetrolio, at the end of the day, there's no impact on the bond structure. There's no impact on the revenues. So a Supetrolio is pursuing its ramp up of volumes. And you do remember that we had between Ferroporte and a Supetrolio in the beginning of last year, or in the beginning of second quarter last year, if I'm not wrong, a agreement for some discounts actually on the port access tariffs that are intended to be a boost in terms of bringing more volumes to the oil terminal. And independently of what's going on in terms of IPOing or not, they are actually moving on the strategy of bringing more volumes at the Supetrolio. But making some comments specifically about that, it was a discussion about the valuation itself, and we prefer to postpone a little bit to advance more on that strategy of putting the revenues inside the Supetrolio, let's say for at least a big chunk of 2021, the 2021 year. And then reassess the market to see if you could have a better valuation and closer to what the shareholders were expecting in order to evaluate again if we will be able to launch that by this timing or not.
But and in particular during fourth quarter in the transshipment business, I mean, I see that the revenues were like, I don't know, 70% down year over year. And how much is it because of the discounts, and how much is it because of volumes?
That's all related to the discounts. The volumes have been increasing actually, and as we said, that's the impact. Not
Okay.
nothing related
Got
to
it.
decreasing volumes, physical volumes.
Okay. And final question for me. The excess cash that you're holding at Puma level of, I think, if I remember correctly, 65 million BRL. What are your plans? I mean, plan to keep it as, I mean, as an insurance there, or are you going to pay down as dividends?
No, we will have a little bit further down the road the distribution as dividends, and we just didn't do that so far. But the intention is, as they are free, and of course following all the rules that we have on our contracts, we will do that movement further down the road, still this year probably.
Do you have
Bringing.
an estimate of on how much is going to be the dividend?
I think we have roughly something around 36 million that would be available for distribution, if I'm not mistaken, Thomas. BRL.
Okay. Yes, of course. Okay. Thank you very much for the time and for the questions.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to post a question, just press star key followed by one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Matheus Miller Angulski with Compass Group. Please, Matheus, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the call. I just have a quick question regarding your CapEx expectation on the Ferroport level. If you could give us some color on what level are you planning to disburse on 2021. Thank you.
Okay, Matheus, thanks for the question. And I can provide some color here, but actually we don't usually provide guidance for such amounts, but I guess looking back to what we have in terms of execution for 2020, and again, taking a look to the other years, we do have a pretty stable expectation in terms of that level of expenditure, depending on the kicking in of the dredging or not. So that's mainly the variable that actually changes when it's done. Usually, it's every 2 years. So it's roughly pretty much in the same line that we have been seeing those in the last couple of years. And again, the only moving part that really impacts that is the dredging, but we just completed a maintenance dredging in 2020, so there's no expectation to have anything related to that for 2021, and there will be an evaluation if it would be necessary to be done in 2022 again, or if it could have that being done a little bit further down the road.
Okay, perfect. And if I may, another question. In terms of volume, you have the take or pay for 26 thousand tons, million tons of iron ore, right? Do you have any signals from Anglo that they could increase this volume?
Please stand by. Please wait while we reconnect the line. Please wait while we reconnect the speaker line. Please stand by while we reconnect the speaker line.
Hello guys, sorry, I had a disconnection here. So from if I got Matteo's question right. You were asking about the increase in volumes for the forthcoming years, right, Matteo's? When we actually, that's totally driven by the Anglo program of producing. What they are actually using as the official volume guidance on their website, it's to have between 2021 and 2022, the range between 24 to 26 million tons on those 2 years. And when they reach 2023, they are expecting to have between 25 and 27 million tons. So, which means the expectation to be actually reaching 26 million tons, which is the nominal capacity, could be a potential outcome on the top range of their guidance for 2021 and 2022. But definitely for 2023, that would be the middle of the range they are indicating on their website. Sorry, I was disconnected, but from what I got, the question was that.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
As a reminder, if you'd like to post a question, please press star then one on your phone now. Our next question comes from Thomas Lemos with Barings. Please, Thomas, go ahead. Mr. Thomas, your line is on.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thanks for taking my questions. Can you please provide what's your calculation of the debt service coverage ratio for 2021 and your expectation for 2020 and your expectations for 2021? And also just to confirm that, I mean, within your model and your forecast is to keep paying the target amortization and not the legal one.
Yeah, okay. Good point, Thomas. So we do have the figures for 2021. We have two installments for this year. The first one will be in June 30th, 2021, and the total legal following the legal sorry for following the target, which is our expectation, it's 13.91 million USD, and the other one in 2021 kicks in December, which is 21.73 million USD. So those are the amounts expected following on the target amortization curve, which totaled 35.63 million in 2021.
And in terms of the debt service coverage ratio, I mean, what are your expectations or for 2021? Can you provide that?
Yeah, they are all embedded in the legal or the target, right? So when we have the target, it's following one time actually and repaying in full the total amount within the 12-year tenor. If we're following that target curve, which means that we're paying one time that service cover ratio, right?
Okay, great. Thanks.
As a reminder, if you'd like to post a question, please press the star key, then one on your phone.
Okay, just Kai, I think my line is open. Just a correction here. My team was passing that it's actually 1.15 when we follow the target, right? I said one time.
Okay. One more time. If you'd like to post a question, please press the star key followed by one. Since there are no further questions, this concludes today's question and answer session. I would like now to invite Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo to proceed with his closing statements. Please, sir, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to thank you all to participate in this 2020 earnings call, and we're going to be back with the results of the first quarter in roughly 45 days from now. Thank you very much.
That does conclude Prumo Participações e Investimento S.A.'s financial results for 2020 audio conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.